Precious Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord, this morning, once again asking you for mercy. I particularly, Lord, come to put my entire confidence in your mercy. Lord, to enable me use my preparation and my knowledge effectively. Lord, anoint me afresh. Let unction from your throne and anointing be upon my heart and upon my lips. So you make me an oracle of God. Let your word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Lord, let it come in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And let it do an eternal work in our wills, making us more submitted to your will, in our minds, including my own, more enlightened with revelation insight from the Holy Spirit, in our emotions, more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, that we will not be the same again in the name of Jesus. I ask that as I go into this Bible study this morning, I duck under the covering of my fathers, Lord, and the anointing that is upon them. As this word goes forth, everywhere it goes, let it be backed by your power, breaking yokes, opening blind eyes, causing deaf ears, Lord, to be unstopped, causing us to have strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, to be doers of the things that we hear and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Father, I look to you for fresh mercy. Help me to be faithful to redeem the time, speaking only what you would have me say. Lord, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit as I seek the honor that comes from you, to speak, to honor you, and to honor my fathers. Let the name of Jesus be glorified, and I'll be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this world things new and old. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are in the book of Colossians, and the last time we were in this book, we were looking at verses 4 to 7 in the book of Colossians. And so in Colossians 3, 4 to 7, just a quick recap, we saw that our lives are hidden in Christ. When you get born again, you are saying that you died with Christ and that your life is now hid with Christ in God. So that life is hidden, in the sense that the Bible says it's hidden in Christ. Now, we know that Christ is the Word of God. So really, it's at two levels. Our life is hidden in the Word. So everything you're going to do, everything God wants you to be, is in the Word. And the idea and the plan is for us to search it out. Amen? That's one level. The other level is that Bible says when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we will appear with him in glory. So it means that even though that life is hidden initially, God's plan is that it should not be hidden forever. That life should appear. So that means, of course, it's just going to appear for us. But before he appears for us, he will appear in us. Because when he appears for us, he's taking those of us in whom he has appeared in. You understand? So the appearance in precedes the appearance for, which now precedes the appearance with. So there are three appearings. Now, we said that last week. We're not going into that again. So now, how does he appear in us? He appears in us by his nature that is in our spirits, when that nature is pumped into our soul and in our body. So that nature begins to influence your will. It begins to influence my mind. It begins to influence my emotions, so that it's now molded and fashioned to be like Christ. So I begin to change and I begin to become more like Christ. My will is more humble progressively. That's the way it should be. My mind is more enlightened, so I see things not the way men see them, but the way Christ sees them. And then I begin to act, and my emotions are controlled by the power of the fruit of. So I don't respond like a man, I respond like a God. A small g, God. Bible says, I said, you are gods. So that's the will of God for us. So now, the more Christ appears in us, the more the glory of God is demonstrated in and through us. And right now, the glory is rising. Amen. The glory is rising, because as you're putting life in your mortal flesh, the level of the glory is rising. The glory is our inheritance. Our inheritance is not blessing. We said that no, God has three things for us. The first one is character. Let's say it together: character, glory, and blessing. We saw that in Joshua. The Bible says you can make sure your way prospers and have good success. Good success is the success that has the prosperity of your soul back in it. God gave us the earnest of our inheritance. by giving us the Bible that baptized the Holy Spirit. And the idea is to get the fullness of that inheritance. So it's very important that we understand. We see the example in Abraham. The Bible says Abraham gave Isaac his son all he had. But to his other sons, he gave gifts. So don't settle for a gift. Amen. Make sure you settle for your inheritance. Amen. Now, because that inheritance includes financial and material blessing. We also saw that we need to develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that helps us to operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us like God. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, we're not turning there, it says godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. So, you know, when you are godly, the more godly you are, the more content you are. And you know, we said this last week, just to reiterate it, you can't be content by having things. It's good. There's nothing wrong with having things, and God wants us to have things. The Bible says God has given all things richly to enjoy. But we don't measure ourselves by things. We measure ourselves by how godly we are, how content we are. And we said that when there is a lack of contentment, it's important to check. There's a drop in your level of godliness. Because godliness and contentment go together. They're twin spiritual forces. Okay. All right. And we also spoke about the fact that the Bible says that we should mortify, therefore, the deeds of the body. So that means that we should crucify the nature of sin in our bodies by the power of the Holy Spirit using God's word. So appetites like food and sleep, and pleasures that we are, or sex, those appetites should be controlled. Your emotions should be controlled. Bible says should be temperate in all things. That's the hallmark. Bible says them that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Just means desires and appetites. So our desires need to be controlled. So we allow those desires to be exercised only when they're in line with the word of God. Amen. And with the will of God. So you need to check that is in line with the will of God. You need to check that is in line with the timing of God, as we said last week, so that we are not controlled by those things we saw last week: sexual vice, uncleanness, impurity, and of course covetousness, which means that you put something else above God. We will not put things above God in Jesus' name. And then we learned from King David's mistake with Bathsheba that omission of spiritual law, either partial omission or complete omission, opens us up to demonic manipulation. Many times people feel, I like this person. Be sure that it's not coming from the soul, that it's coming from God. It's very important. No, people find this hard to understand, but God gave us the emotions. Yes, God gave us the emotions, but he also gave us the responsibility to control the emotions, to channel the emotions, to direct the emotions. We're not led by our emotions, we lead our emotions. Amen. It's very, some people fall in love. What do you mean by fall? That sense already, there's a mistake there. How can you fall into something that is good? You don't fall in love. You love with the love of God. And the love of God now controls all the other loves. The Eros and the Philia, they are controlled. So your eyes are clear. Love is not blind. God is love. And his eyes are wide open. Amen. So he can see clearly, he can discern, and we see that as we go along. And when we make mistakes, we allow the name of God to be blasphemed. Brethren, God has set a very high standard for us in Christ, and has given us the equipment to get there. We can get there, and we will get there in Jesus' name. Right, so we begin in verse 7. Thank you. Let's read it together. In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Next verse. But now ye also put off. I can't hear you. Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Next verse. Lie not. Brethren, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So it means you must be seeing. Next verse. And have put on the new man. So it's not just putting something off, you must put something on in his place, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Next verse.
where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. Right, let's go back to verse 7. Let's take verse 7 and 8 together. Right. It says, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Now, the truth is, when we were not born again, you know, we did everything like ordinary men. We lied. We were angry. We couldn't control our emotions. We stole. We sinned. Because our nature was wrong. But when we come into Christ, we become a new creature. It's not mere words. All things are truly passed away, and all things have become new. Now, they are new instantly spiritually, but they are supposed to be new progressively in our souls and in our bodies. So we have no excuse and say, this human body, you know, while we're in the flesh. No. Don't lie against the truth. Let God be true, let every man be a liar. And what God said, that we cannot live like. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Why? 13, 11 to 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So he's telling us that if he said this how many years ago? When this book was written, how long ago? He said this decades, even centuries ago. If salvation was nearer then, how much more nearer is it now? And really now, we're living in a dispensation of light. There is a new, you heard the word Pastor Mommy declare, there's a new vista of love, of light, of life that is available. And we're saying last week that, you know, if everybody has power, you know, in your neighborhood, and only you don't have power, there's something wrong. And you need to check your connection. Check it from the meter. Check it from the pole. Check it at the box. There must be something. You must have light. And as a child of God, this is the time of light. That's why he says that in the next verse. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, when the sons of God will manifest. Let us therefore do what? Cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. He's instructed that he uses the term armor. So you can put off darkness and put on light. It's an armor. Now, of course, you know, we have a spiritual armor. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, we're not going to turn there, but we know that our feet are shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. So it's that determination to walk in peace with all men. Our loins are girded about with truth. So that's honesty of heart. No, we put on the helmet of salvation, which is the hope. The hope of the things in this life. The hope of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. The hope of the resurrection. I'm talking about spiritual weapons that we must put on. Then the Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness, which you always keep. Father, I confess my sins, so I clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. You maintain your connection with God every time. Talking about the shield of faith. Then it talks about the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Then you pray always. No, we must put on that whole thing will generate light that enables us to live like God. Like Christ, to live the life of Christ in the flesh. That's what he's saying. Next verse. Let us walk honestly. So he's talking about putting on the first weapon. The first, because there's something that are defensive. You know, the word of God and prayer are offensive. The others are defensive weapons. You know, you generate the spiritual power, and the power of God is sustaining the hope. The power of God is sustaining your honesty. The power of God is sustaining your determination to walk in peace with all men. So when men provoke you, you respond in peace. The power of God is working in all those areas. So he says, let us walk honestly, because that's where it begins. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Next verse. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So you can put on Jesus and stifle, stifle the flesh so it cannot manifest. And after a while, you can cleanse it out. So your flesh begins to respond the way your spirit wants it to. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. So what are we saying? We're saying that we must start walking in sincerity. Honesty is key, brethren. What is honesty? Admitting the truth to yourself in your heart. Admit it. Accept it. That yes, I lied. Don't say it was a white lie. Don't say shade of gray. I lied. I did, because sometimes we tell the truth, but we don't tell the whole truth. Hello? Yeah. So you accept it. I lied. Why did I lie? The Bible says the person that lies hates his brother. That's what the Bible says. If you lie to somebody, you hate them. So, you know, you accept the Bible standard and you ask God for mercy. And that's what honesty does. It attracts mercy. What is mercy? The unmerited compassion of God that releases life to us from the outside. So it releases life upon your soul, upon your mind. The Bible says, no man can come to the Father, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. So the Father draws you, you know, in that situation by giving you mercy. And that mercy helps you now to come and confess your sins. You know, so mercy brings us to confess our sins. And then when we confess our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:8-10, you know, Bible says we receive cleansing from all unrighteousness and the purging, it says in Hebrews, of our conscience from dead works. So that sin is removed. Because it is a nature, you must understand. We are dealing with a nature. So it's a war between two natures. There is a nature of God coming from the Spirit, and there's a nature in the flesh. So anytime that you do something wrong, or you think something wrong, or you know, it is because one nature has gotten ascendancy in your mind. So you have to change it. And it can be changed by coming to God. No, and confessing your sins, receiving mercy. When you now confess your sins, you now have right standing. That gives us access to eternal life. So we then receive that eternal life, and then we release eternal life. And that's something that, you know, I believe the whole Lord wants to talk about today. You can receive eternal life. It's a substance inside God that makes God God. And it was meant to be received. Amen. God gave it to us so that we could receive it. Amen. I am come that they might have and have it more abundantly. So we can have it more abundantly. We are supposed to have it more abundantly. So why are we settling for very little and living as if there is a scarcity of it? Lord, have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Okay, God will help us. Look at Proverbs 18:20. Proverbs 18:20. Quickly. Proverbs 18:20. I think this is fundamental. Bible says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be. Next verse. Says, death and life are where? In the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you love death, you will speak death. If you love life, you will speak life. So choose life. So you pray from scriptures that promise us the life of God. Father, I confess my sins in Jesus' name. The Father, strengthen me with might by your spirit in my man, so that I will draw life and power from God swiftly and in great measure in Jesus' name. Father, I have the Son of God. I have life in Jesus' name. There are scriptures that promise us life of God, but you receive them. And when you receive them, then you pray in the Spirit. And when you do that, it generates tremendous spiritual power. That power does two things. Gives us revelation, insight. So that we see what God wants us to do, and then gives us the spiritual power to do it. And that is how we crucify the flesh. You can't crucify the flesh without power. You can't walk in love without power. It takes power. It takes power. It's not just, the four-way test. No. I mean, it's good, but it takes power to do the four-way test. It takes power to be unselfish. It takes power to be kind. I mean, sometimes you can be patient, but to be kind at the same time, it takes, sometimes you can be patient and kind, the measure of the power. You know, sometimes you can't even do both. So it's a power issue. So we must walk. Bible says, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. So your talk must be backed by power. That's what he's saying. Amen. So let our talk be backed by power. You know, and you know, we see that thing there, you know, that once we walk in the, we receive the life, then we walk in the light, and then we have the ability to now walk in the love. So we receive life, the life gives us light, and then we walk in love. Those are the three. Everybody say life, light, love. Say it again. Life, light, love. So the light is a derivative of the life, and the love is the consequence of the power that comes from the life. And that's how we are free, and we can walk free. Amen. And that's how we wear Jesus. Okay, so we have the ability to act on the word, you know, and that's how we put on. So the Bible says put on. So you wear Jesus in your thoughts, wear him in your words, wear him in your conduct, and that way your light shines. The Bible says arise and shine, for the light arise is the process, shine is the action that is the consequence of the process. But if you don't do the process, you can't shine. In the situation or the circumstance, you will not, you will just switch off the bulb. Because it takes power. Peter said, Lord, I will not deny you. How many people believe that he meant it? He meant it. When he got to the robber, he denied him. How many times? Three. In quick succession. 1, 2, 3. Just to show you that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit. So you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, so we build a lifestyle of prayer. This is very important. We learn to receive life and we learn to release it in prayer. And that's when I talk about prayer, and I mean praying in the Spirit. Because prayer is a necessary discipline that every Christian must learn. And it's the only way we can learn to overcome all this they're talking about putting up. That's the only way we can do it. So we build a lifestyle of praying in the Spirit. Now, of course, we do travailing prayer, which means to pray with all types of prayer, including travail. Because Bible says that you know, Christ is formed when we travail. Galatians 4:19. Please put it up for me. Galatians 4:19 is very important because I believe God wants us to live in victory. So you pray, you're supposed to do 1 hour of traveling prayer every day. Then that's the foundation. Now, of course, you may not be there yet. That you'll be able to do 1 hour. All right, so do 30 minutes. Do 20 minutes. Do something. Do something, and then grow in it. But don't say, oh, I can't do this, or I can't do that. No. Then you live a very low life. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. As you guys say, my little children, of whom I travel in birth again until Christ be what? So Christ is formed. It's formed. Like a baby is formed in the womb. So that's what traveling prayer does. And then we pray communion prayer. Communion prayer allows us to fellowship with God all through the day so that the traveling prayer opens up the heavens over us under the covering of our fathers. And then communion prayer allows us to enjoy the flow of resources. Look at Jude 20 and 21. Very important to understand. There's this lifestyle of prayer. Everybody say prayer is a lifestyle. So we must all have it. Something that we must all cultivate. It's very important. But ye beloved, doing what? Building up. It's the same thing as Christ being formed. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So you are born again. Praying where? In the Holy Ghost. It's praying in tongues. It's not just there's a place for praying the word, praying understanding, but you must back it with praying in the Spirit. Next verse. Keep yourselves where? In the love of God. That's Christ. God is love. God is Christ. Christ is love. Christ is the word. It's all interchangeable. Looking at for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. To be faithful in this. So this is very important. So we combine this lifestyle of prayer with looking inward. So you begin to fish out infirmities. Let's go back to Colossians, verse 8. Now I'm going to verse 9. But now ye also put off all these. Let's call them anger. Next one. Lord have mercy on us. Malice, Christians. I'm not as that forgiving. I'm just not talking to her. You get angry and you blow your top.
particularly when money is involved. What nonsense. I will show him who I am. Really, who are you? I thought you were dead and your life was hid in Christ. Lord, have mercy on us. All right, so we need to understand that we need to control these things. How do we do it? Now, the first thing, you must understand that our heart is deceitful. Your heart, my heart. Look at James chapter 1, verse 21. And out of it, if you leave your heart alone, out of it will come, it will devise evil by itself. Your heart, my heart. Now, this is honesty now and sincerity. You must accept. Wherefore, lay apart all what? And superfluity of, where is it coming from? You know, superfluity means, let me give you a picture. It's like when you put water on, you put the kettle on fire and you fill it to the brim. Okay, you shouldn't, but if you fill it to the brim and then you boil it, what happens? It boils over. It begins to even, it will boil over and attempt to put out the flame that is almost, that's what he's talking about. It's when the heart is full of evil. But the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Okay, then now it's telling you that it's still bubbling. That's what it's talking about, the superfluity. It's full and it's falling off. So that's why if you look in the world today, you will see what men are doing to men themselves. You can't understand it. It's the wickedness of the human heart because of the satanic nature that is in the heart. So really, the earlier we crucify the nature, the better. Now, we've spoken about prayer. Look at the next thing that we need. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness and receive with the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So we start with sincerity. But we must also have, that's the sincerity that is the meekness now. But you must also receive with meekness. After you have come to God and you have confessed your sins, you must receive the word. The word of God is an all-season graft. Amen. It can graft into any tissue, any heart. It's a fantastic material. Amen. It's divine. It can graft anywhere. So when you receive it, automatically it will graft in your heart. It can be like a small mustard seed, like the Bible says. But if you keep doing it, it will grow. And we'll take up space and take up space and take up space. And before you know it, the whole house will be covered by the word. That's what God is doing. That's how we are able to. Thank you for the amplifier. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth. It gives a better idea. See, outgrowth, like a cancer. It's like an outgrowth of wickedness. And in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word. Don't argue with it. Which implanted and rooted in your heart contains the power to do what? Save your soul. Inherent in the word is power to save. So we'll receive the word in Jesus' name. All right, so with the combination of praying in the spirit and the word, we save our souls. So we can control anger. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Let's look at that just very quickly. Give it to us. Yeah, and let not the sun go down your wrath. Don't give any excuse. Don't say we don't know what she did. Just accept it. Engrafted. Amen. Engrafted. So you say, you know, and you need to know the things that disturb you. Mom, you know, we said that before. But in this case now, we're talking about anger and wrath. You know, wrath is just anger in a high level. It's real madness. No, anger is a madness. So it's very important that you don't let anger rest in your bosom. It's a substance. It rests in the bosom. Bible says anger rested in the bosom of fools. So you flush it out. Amen. So when the situation comes, there's nothing there. I mean, you will be angry, but you won't say a word. Sometimes when mom is angry, mom's like, just praying tongues. Jacques Kobokose. It's wisdom. So you would say, just use your tongue to control your tongue. I'm just praying tongues. Some things that we do, amen. Sandpaper. Eh? But some pastors just look at you. You know the look. Alright? But mom will just pray to us. But even now, mom will just speak in a very gentle voice. In fact, I'm wondering, is this worse or better? But it's okay. God will help us. Mommy, be angry. Do something. Just let me even know. So I feel as if, you know why we do that? We want to pay for our sin. So it's like, she didn't even get angry again. Hey, stop feeling bad. Get into the word. Get into praying in the spirit. And crucify the flesh. Amen. Next one. No, malice. Malice is ill will. Now we overcome ill will with goodwill. Amen. And that's Acts 24:6. The Bible says, we exercise our conscience void of offense. Don't let anybody get to offend you. Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 165, great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Doesn't mean they won't be angry, but never get to a point where their will is turned against the will of God for that person. No way. Always align your will with the will of God. So you put the word of God in and you pray. So when the situation comes, it does not find your heart empty. The word is there, resident in the heart. Amen. It's very important. The Bible says, root out blasphemy and filthy language. Now, of course, the four-letter words, negative words, inappropriate jokes, so-called jokes that we tell. No, it ought not to be mentioned amongst us. Amen. So Bible says that our speech should always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I'm just dropping them. So Ephesians 4:29 and Colossians 4:6. I use some scriptures myself, personally, though I confess them, I meditate them, and I pray in tongues. Because that's how you're going to be free. There's no shortcut. No. The Bible says the word is not in heaven that we should go. The Bible says the word is nigh thee, in thy heart, belief, in thy mouth, confession, that thou mayest do it. And back you pray in the spirit. And you do it. That's the law. That's the principle. And God will set us free in Jesus' name. Lying. Verse 9. Yes, Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So these are the manifestations of the old man. Okay? Lying is also something that we need to do. Bible talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Bible talks about that we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walk in craftiness, not handle the word of God, but by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's very important. Thank you. No, the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Yes. All right. So you can see that the scriptures there. So you put the word of God in your heart. Amen. And then you pray and then you declare. And that word is backed with power. It's not an ordinary word. So it's not just ordinary talk, it's talk backed with power. And then it produces, so we can control and tame our tongue. Amen. Verse 10. And I've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's very important now. We see that the new man is renewed in knowledge. So there is a new knowledge that we must have to let the new man manifest. If you just operate in the normal knowledge of yourself and who you are, that's my infirmity. That's my weakness. That's the old man. There's a new man. And we're talking about revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit into your spirit direct. It's not coming from your sense, from the senses. It's coming to your spirit direct. And many times it comes through the word of God. So, through the word of God that you've read, or the word of God that you are reading, no, God will give light. He will breathe light. And that light, comes in two ways. It comes through a humble heart. Bible says, with the lowliest wisdom, Proverbs 11:2. And also comes through praying in the spirit. The combination of the two enables us to walk in revelation knowledge. And that's very important, because you cannot do what you cannot see. You cannot, amen, I'll say it again. You cannot do what you cannot see. You must see it first to be able to do it.
That's why God asked Jeremiah, what seest thou? Now, when you see correctly, I will now perform what you have seen. It's very important that, so we must see ourselves in the image. I like that word you use. Go back to Colossians 3:9. The image of him that, so you see yourself the way Christ wants you to be. So it's no longer something pie in the sky or something the pastor said. It's something that Jesus tells you direct. So it must be possible because he doesn't lie. Amen. And when you now do that and you back it up, you walk in it. That's how we walk. That's how we walk. So we walk from truth to, because revelation is progressive. You walk from truth to truth. From truth to, so you can turn to any area of your life and see the situation the way God sees it. See yourself, the habit, the way God sees it. See your spouse the way God sees them. You know, it's important to see people the way God sees them. It's very important. So you don't, because that's how you walk in love. You can't walk in love by just knowing that you should walk in love. That's head knowledge. That information must go from the head to the heart. That's revelation knowledge. And then from the heart to the feet. That's experiential knowledge. That's the will of God for us. Amen. All right. So every, look at the next verse in verse 11. Every human, yes, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, because Christ is in all, they've lost their identity. They're no longer circumcision or circumcision. Everybody is Christ. Christ David, Christ Deye, Christ Femi, Christ Yomi, Christ, you know, is Christ. So our identity, the anything that divides, because you know, Satan divides and men also divide. We like to be exclusive. We are the ones that have it. They don't have it. We and they. But God is inclusive. It's very important. All right? So everything that is a human distinction, denomination, age, sex, race, social strata, all those that are done away with in Christ. We are all the same. Christ is in all and is all. Christ is all in all. It's very important that we understand that. So we must allow now this is the reality of it. You must allow the Holy Spirit to show you, you know, who your spouse is or who your friends are. Amen. You must see your friend in through the eyes of Christ. Bible says, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. This is very, and I think this is where we're going to end today. You know, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Let me just give you an example. Peter, James, and John, all disciples, they knew Christ after the flesh. But one day he asked, who do men say that I am? Now God is asking you the same question. Who do you say that he is? So you must see Christ the way. When you see Christ the way he is, that he can be manifest in your mortal body. Now in that time he was the Son of God, but the same thing is true. Bible says Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we see that Christ can live in us, Christ can reign in us. Amen. That we see that Christ can grow in us. That is the revelation. So when you see that, then at the same time you now use that same light. It's light that is coming from Christ. You now use that same light to look at everybody around you. It's very important. It's very important to understand who people are. The Bible says confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth. Like a foot. If you go and depend on someone who is unfaithful, you have yourself to blame. You must know who a scorner is. You must know who a fool is. You must know somebody who has a right attitude. You must know somebody who defends somebody who is trying to do the right thing but is weak, and somebody who is deliberately not doing it but is very good at giving you a form. It's very so you walk with your eyes open. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1, you know the Spirit of God shall be upon him. He said he will not judge after the sight of the eyes, nor after the hearing of the ears. It's very important. No, two people can tell you something. No, one person quickly come and tell you, so they can quickly be the first one to tell you. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. You know, the first to say is the person that will get the right judgment. And you don't talk before you hear everything. It's very important that we learn to relate with people like Christ. They brought the woman that was caught in adultery. And they brought only her. They didn't bring the man with her. And they said, the law of Moses says this. He had to ask God, what is the wisdom of God here? Many times you have to shut up and ask God for wisdom. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. We ask God for divine wisdom. So we don't answer from your head. When you should be answering from your heart. Sometimes you have to discern what people are saying. They will say certain words to you, but you must answer what is in their heart. Must discern. The man said, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. On the surface, they are trying to deceive you. Out of your inheritance, defraud you from your inheritance. But the proper and hard thing is that the word of God is manifest in the flesh in front of you, and all you can think about is inheritance. To use Christ to further your own personal gain. It's covetousness. That's what's going on in the church now. We are using Christ to bring all of our needs to pass. But there are people that are getting those things without Christ. So you ask yourself, what's the big deal? It cannot be that. That cannot be the reason for following God. We must not be bread and fish Christians. Amen. We're talking about seeing Christ the way he is and seeing people around you in the light that Christ gives. It's very important to have our eyes on, you know, like we're saying, shine your eyes. You know, so you don't see, you know, in the flesh. And one important thing here is to see that all men have potential in God. It's so important to see, because many times, you know, you can look down on people. In fact, prejudice is a part of the sin nature. It's a part of the sin nature, prejudice. Prejudice is just looking down at people because of a perceived, doesn't even have to be real, a perceived disadvantage. Ask yourself, the people in your office, look down on them because they make mistakes and you don't. The people that are lower than that are your subordinates, they can't talk to you anymore because you are a guy. You better remove prejudice. Yes, you are a guy, but you must be accessible, because many times God will not take your permission about who he will talk to, who will save you out of a mistake or save you from a situation. Mommy sent us something beautiful over the weekend. It was yesterday. Beautiful write-up, you know, about character. It's so important. But character comes from revelation. It's what you see that you will do. Bible says, think on these things. Whatever things are true and honorable and just and pure. Don't think about people's mistakes all the time. There is good in them. The Bible says, God is good. His mercies are all, his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalm 145 verse 9. So choose to see good. Choose to see God. Now, of course, you don't necessarily depend on them, you know, but you are positive about them. You see that this person can improve, you know, you encourage them. You see the potential that they have, and you bring them up. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. So don't write people off. And now sometimes we do that as Christians. God forgive us in Jesus' name. You know, we have even if you don't say, you have a dismissive attitude. Just leave. God have mercy on us, including me, in Jesus' name. God saw potential in Saul. He saw Paul in Saul. That's why he called him. It was when he called him that Saul now saw that, truly, I actually have the potential. Amen. Jesus saw potential in Judas. Oh, he prayed all night to choose all the over them. And he saw that he has his heart infirmity. But he gave him the opportunity. He still gave him the opportunity.
No, because know what God gives the opportunity so that you can't see that nobody gave you the opportunity. So we must give people opportunity and let them determine by their choices their own destiny. Let them determine that, you know, when something happens in school and people say, oh, well, he did it. I asked him, son, did you do it? He said, he didn't do it. I said, relax. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Give him. You know, it might be that peradventure he will change from this point going forward. All right? Because the important thing is to for him to change. It's about chance and change. So, but let's give him the opportunity, you know, and all that. If he's really going to change, he will change. If he's not going to change, he can't say we didn't give him the opportunity. It's very important. So when eventually stuff happens and you say, I'm sorry, I know you did wrong, I have to, the person in their own heart, they themselves know that I truly deserve it. I deserve it. And that's how God is. Paul gave John Mark time. You never know who God will use to fulfill his purpose. And that John Mark became Bible says it was profitable for him in the ministry. It's very important. God is inclusive. And we must be, knowing that any man can overcome the sin nature, brethren, by the blood, by the word, and by the spirit. So never write anybody off. They can do it. Just give them the chance. Amen. And so many times, I know, remember, Pastor always says this from time to time. You know, when Peter's shadow was healing, you know, people in Jerusalem, Saul was still hauling people into prison. The same Saul, in a matter of years, 10, 15, 14, 15 years, 15 years, in about 15 years, came back to come and correct Peter. When Peter was shaking on like a reed. It tells us two things. One, you don't write people off. Two, deal with yourself. So that you yourself, you're not beating the air. You are putting your body under. And you are developing character. It's very important. That you should be growing in character. That gives you contentment. Amen. All right. Now, it's also important to see that when we exercise loving kindness and forbearance with men, you know, that's the will of God for us. We exercise loving kindness and forbearance, and you know, with them, and that in fact is growth for us. Amen. The Bible says that we should walk worthy, Ephesians. You know, we should walk worthy of the vocation whereunto we have been called, in all lowliness and meekness. You know, forbearing, you know, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So really, you know, long suffering and forbearance is not palatable, but it is the way up in Christ. Amen. You need to be happy about brethren that challenge you. And brethren that you hey, but boy, today, Lord have mercy. You know, because that is what's going to make you grow. Bible talks about the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. You want the fullness? I'm asking, you want the fullness? You want the glory? Then allow God to stretch you. So you forbear people. Sometimes you can do something alone and do it by yourself. How many things will you do alone? And when you do it alone, how will you stay humble when only you are doing everything alone? You have to learn to delegate things to other people and let them grow. Yes, they will make mistakes. Didn't you make mistakes? Amen. Have mercy. All right. And that's how we walk towards men. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, as we close. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Quickly. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Next verse. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Next verse. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. See, it's so important that our love grows in knowledge, in revelational knowledge. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to practice it. Look at, give it to me in the Amplified. Amplified.
May abound.
No, give it to me in the Amplified. From verse 9, please.
And this I pray, that your love may what? Abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest.
So love has development.
Amen. In what? Knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment.
Next verse.
So you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best, and distinguishing the moral differences, and that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless, so that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to.
That is love. Walking in love. Give me the last verse. Verse 11.
May abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing, which come through Jesus Christ, the anointed one, to the honor and praise, that his glory may be what? Both manifested and recognized.
God wants his glory to be manifested. But it is by you and I, not some of us, all of us, growing in knowledge. Our love growing in knowledge and discernment, comprehensive discernment. Now practicing that, so that we are filled with the fruit of with the fruit of righteousness, and that takes us into the glory. God will enable us to enter. So when you see brethren, ask life for them, pray for them in tongues, show mercy and forbearance. In that, your love is growing, and you are causing the glory to come closer. Let us pray. Talk to God and confess your sins. Let's ask God for mercy. Ask Him to help you. The relationship with the Holy Spirit, lifestyle of prayer, praying with travail, there's an upscale in the amount of negative spiritual power that is coming against us on the earth. You can't pray with tongues alone. You have to pray with travail. Learn it and grow towards the ideal of 1 hour every day. When you get to the ideal, let it be your habit. Maintain it. And then grow. Learn to pray for different areas of your life once a week. So from daily prayer, you move to weekly prayer. From weekly prayer, you include daily prayer. Then you add monthly prayer. Grow in prayer and in the Word. Use the Word. And when you yourself are using the Word and you're growing, then you can turn back and have mercy on others. Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Raise up our hand to heaven.
Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning. Thank you because I wait upon you, and you are going to cause me to rise up on eagle's wings. So, Father, I ask for mercy to enable me to walk in sincerity of heart, in meekness of heart, to be able to repent of my sins, to acknowledge them, to confess and to forsake them, to receive the word of God, to be engrafted into my heart, so that by prayer and by the word in my heart and in my mouth, I will overcome weaknesses and infirmities in my heart, so that progressively I will be pure and unsullied in my heart from the sin nature, and my heart will be a channel for your power to come in into my soul and my body, flushing out the sin nature, helping me to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in meekness and in power, so that Christ is manifest to the people around me. Help me, Lord, to remove prejudice from my heart, to see potential in men, and to enable me to encourage men to be the best that they can be. I thank you, Father, for causing my love to grow in knowledge and in all discernment. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rapakale jeka kukanzea tuba banga kekalababat. Rapakaka sheke de bebelia. Rapakao kao zene damanant. Rene de belikaka. Rapakao tuba dase. Jefreke kubakara beka kuapa. Rapakata deke do babas. Rasa zene de belikaka. Rene de beli bada. Rene de batuba. Rate beleka. Rapakao jene damao. Bele labatoas. Rapakaka. Deke de beberia, rapa angala matat, rapa kangala namatat, rapa kaka, deke de bebe, mabau, ramba toa, rapa a, rapa ole bene do batata, bene de bene kaka, rene de bat, mafrekika, Jeffrey, bonga de bebe de kene de bebe. I will rise.